There's New Testament and Old Testament reading, so reading those together will be a little bit longer, but let's hear God's Word as He sets it forth in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 18, and I'm going to be reading there the first 17 verses, one of God's messages to governments, Jeremiah 18, beginning with verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Now listen to his application. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house or government of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. If that nation which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it. So now then speak to the men of Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning calamity against you, and devising a plan against you. O turn back, each of you, from his evil way, and reform your ways and your deeds. But they will say, It's hopeless. We're going to follow our own plans. And each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask now among the nations, Who's ever heard of the like of this? The virgin of Israel has done a most appalling thing. Does the snow of Lebanon forsake the rock of the open country, or is the cold flowing water from a foreign land ever snatched away? For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway, to make their land a desolation, an object of perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. Like an east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity. Before reading the New Testament, let me just introduce the message we're looking at this evening. Five things, and again, five things doesn't mean there are not 50 things that God might be saying to government. We're looking at five tonight. We're looking at reminders that God might say to our government. Many Christians today, as well as other people, say, well, our government, it's like a Rotary or Lions Club or Kiwanis. They have prayer before their meals, and they have kind of a mascot God over here, In God We Trust, or This Nation Under God, they put the name in. Isn't that enough? Isn't that religious enough? Boy Scouts have a merit badge. It doesn't mean you have to elect a Christian as a leader, do you? They are for God and country. So American governments has prayer in their houses of Congress, has a chaplain. And we have prayer in our houses of legislature in the state of Kansas. Consequently, many Christians are saying, you know, you're not voting a pastor. You're not voting a Sabbath school teacher. You're just voting a president. Vote whomever you wish. Whatever moral standard he has, go ahead. But the nations are different than Rotary and Lions and all the rest. Because, as we're going to read in our New Testament, God has given to the nation a sword. God hasn't given to the church a sword. We're not leading crusades. We're not going out and arresting people for speeding, putting them in the prisons. We're not going out and investigating murders and putting people in the electric chair, but the government is. Oh, we're electing a lot more than just a nice guy or a nice woman. God's saying more than that. The state of Kansas, at the time Hickok and Smith went out and killed a family, a mother and a dad and two teenagers in Holcomb, Kansas, years ago, Truman Capote wrote about it in Cold Blood, if you want to read some history. We also had a noose hanging in one of our warehouses, and we hung those two men until they died. The church didn't do it. The Kiwanis didn't do it. Those are just clubs that are made to encourage. The church is authority. It's a moral being. It determines what's right or wrong. It determines they'll drop bombs. They'll teach them how to drop them in the Wichita air bases. They'll teach them in the army bases how to kill men. Said in World War I, they found so many of our soldiers were killed, they didn't even get a shot off. And they examined that, and they realized that when they trained them over here to go over there, they had targets pop up as they were in their trenches, and they shot targets. But they couldn't shoot a man. And so they changed all of their targets to people. Every time they shot the figure of a man. And from then on, that's what God says to the government. You better learn how to deal with men. Capital punishment, if you will call that. We're not preaching on that tonight, but it's certainly there as well. Well, let's read then Romans 13, when God says, I want to tell you what the church is responsible to do. He's going to start out about government. Romans 13 and 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. And nowhere does he say you need to submit yourselves to Rotary or submit yourselves to Kiwanis, submit yourself even to a school. And we're not preaching a sermon on disrespect to the principal. But we are preaching the fact that God says, we're teaching about something very different from other well-meaning causes that just caused America to think, ho-hum, it's a joke, and get out your popcorn, we're going to have another presidential debate, and we'll have a... It's a moral group we're talking about. There is no authority which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear from the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For the government, he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. Very clear definition. He gives the electric chair. He gives the noose. He gives the ability to stop the sin. Stop if it's wrong and if they agree it's a sin. That's why it's a moral being. He's God's servant of wrath to bring punishment on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If it honor, then honor. On October the 7th, we read this about our government in Topeka, Kansas. For the second time in a week, a Topeka minister found himself behind bars. He was behind bars when I left, to come here at least. It's the government using their sword in what I believe is a correct way. So let's find out what Mr. Barney is doing. The police said that Barney This is, incidentally, Greg Varney, who established the World Christian Life Center. If you go by the bypass in Topeka, go the south way there at the corner of Gage and the bypass south, is this very large metropolitan church. Seats 1,600 people. The pastor's in jail. Let's see why. It's why the government needs to step in sometime and take on the pulpit. Very, very sad occasion, but certainly happening nearby Topeka. MacArthur, the government, Benjamin McCartney said Varney was resistant to assistance they were trying to give, eventually was taken into custody. He's been charged with disorderly conduct, brawl, fighting, obstruction of official duty, battery of a law enforcement officer. It's one where I think the government got it right. And we're not out for the government to solve the church's problems. An independent church like this, no government from Presbytery to come in and deal with the situation. So he's on his own, basically, whatever session or group of men he's gathered around him. But it's there. God, now let's see what God would have to say about where they might go with their lives. God that made the world and all things therein, made of one blood all nations of men. God made all nations for a moral purpose, to teach right and wrong. But let every, another, this is Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power of God, but powers that be are ordained of God. God's ordained a nation. Now, like I say, someday I might come back and preach the history through. Let me just mention three historic events that caused me to realize that America has turned from their base. The first is when the Mayflowers established the first coming aboard before they ever got out of their ship. They said, this is why we came to America. This is why we're founding the government. In the name of God, amen. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, and on it goes. That was the foundational document. It would go for 150 years. Then we had a constitutional convention. And during that time, as I would sit, and I always, if you get near a university, I sit near their American history classes to see how they teach colonial America. And of course, they got to Rhode Island. They said, now here's the real man. He was a Baptist. He didn't like the Presbyterian tilt of the Mayflower guys. So he went out to Rhode Island to start his own. And that's real democracy, because we shouldn't have any convictions in government. We ought to let them establish their own. And on it went. But this was the Rhode Island when Roger Williams got there. This is what he established as his corporate. We do, in the presence of Jehovah, incorporate ourselves and support our persons, lives, and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that was started. Then we got to the I'm okay, you're okay convention, called the Constitutional Convention of Philadelphia. 150 years after the Mayflower Compact. And with the Mayflower Compact and all the Articles of Confederation that they had before them, they looked at every statement, and they took the name of Christ, they took the name of God, they took the name of the Bible, and absolutely it's missing from our Constitution. We substituted, we the people do ordain. It's a progressive walk, and we have to look around and say, wonder why the trend is going this way. When we knocked out the foundations, it's hard for the righteous to do it right. The attitude which we're facing when we appear on our walks, and I was encouraged to hear of those that went to the abortion, the Life Savers walk, and you, some 40 of you were there. We had one in Topeka who opposed the abortion, went around Stormont Vale Hospital, and we went down and we carried our blue banner, took it off the wall, put it on a pole, and walked around that hospital and said, we're for life. We're against abortion. And they knew the church was there because of the blue banner. And they took a picture of it and put it on TV and wondered what in the world it was. A lot of people wondered. A lot of people knew. History has always hated religion. This goes way back. An anarchist by the name of Clutes in the French Revolution time put it this way, which is unfortunately the same direction that some of our political leaders are going. He said, this is all the way over in France, so we don't need to worry about this. We'll never get here, right? I think it's here. The people is sufficient for itself and will subsist forever. There is no other sovereign than the human race. The people. The people are God. To this utopia, the only obstacle is religion. Let's grind it to powder. And how often a person comes up and presents biblical approaches to marriage, one man, one woman, biblical approaches to so many standards, they simply say, let's grind that to powder, let's throw him out, what's he doing here, how'd he get in here? Benjamin Franklin, who was a part of that convention, stood up to ask if they couldn't have prayer. We're not getting anywhere, he said. We're not getting where we could. But the motion was made for adjournment. That takes all motions off the floor. Benjamin Franklin never introduced it again because he wrote this. The convention, except for three or four members, thought prayers unnecessary. A key thing happened when the Constitution threw out all recognition of God, threw out all recognition beyond we, the people. There is no authority except what God has established, but we haven't recognized that. We've taken it and run with it. Say, grind religion to powder. We'll do it ourselves. We'll make our own standards of marriage. We'll make our own standards of this or that. Interesting that the people who went immediately to protest what the Constitutional Convention did, and since then have faithfully done it, called the Reformed Presbyterian Covenanters and others along with us. A guy by the name of Gary North, he's not very well known today, but wrote a book on political polytheism. That is, I'm okay, you're okay. Let anybody believe whatever they wish. We'll all subsist. We'll all get along fine. And let others come in. But then he put in the end the fly, this book is dedicated to the members living and dead of the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America Covenanters, who for 190 years, be more now, have smelled a rat in Philadelphia. No exposure really to our church, except what he read, and we took a stand for this. When the government takes the sword, Barney Fuller better know he's going to die. He was killed Wednesday. An East Texas man who pleaded guilty to killing a neighbor couple during a shooting rampage was executed Wednesday evening. That was last Wednesday evening by the government because they have the sword and we're not trying to take away the sword. We're thankful that somebody's stepping in, whether it's murder. But Barney Fuller, 58, never made eye contact in the death chamber with witnesses who included the two then were children. This was 10 years since the parents had been killed. You see, we begin to turn and begin to say, murder is not a side issue with God. He says, you've been given a sword. Why have you not been using it where there's been murder? The Bible teaches it so. 45 million infants murdered in the womb over the years, and we call it women's rights, women's lib. There's something missing here, and the foundation's gone, is what I'm saying. And this is where we get into what God would say. Number one, or number two, is God judges nations and civil rulers. At one instant, now we're reading again from the Jeremiah 18, we've already read that. At one instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it blame not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I will benefit them. Now, nations aren't judged, are they? Babylon wasn't judged, were they, as a nation? The Gestapo and Hitler, they weren't judged as a nation, were they? How were they judged? They were wiped from the face of the earth. Their judgment day is right here in history. God takes godless nations and He destroys them here. He doesn't send them down to hell and have individual examinations, though those will apply to Hitler and all leaders. But He brings hell to them by destroying their existence. You see, over persons in the pastorate for 55 years, you do a lot of calling. Quite a bit, part of it's prison calling. And several times it's Reformed Presbyterians, Covenanters, in prison. Some are in there because of sexual abuse. And we don't go to the government and say that's a very bad that you did a thing of putting him in the prison. Another may come with the murder of another man. And that also was a Reformed Presbyterian. Saying, yeah, I said, I'd do it again too. No remorse. It's changing time, folks. And to say, well, us old-timers, we don't understand. We've been through it. We've been there. We've seen the changes. And we're delinquent if we don't let people know what we've seen. God ordaining of nations and ordains them with responsibilities of keeping the peace. Two, God judges nations and civil rulers disobeying Him. That the nation and kingdom that shall not serve you shall surely perish. Yes, those nations shall be utterly wasted. God said it first. You sit down in the beautiful downtown Berlin and sit there and eating your German sausages, whatever they call them. But here's a giant monument that's been left there, about one-third of a cathedral. Still there, some 30 or 40 feet in the air. It's to be left there to remember, tell the young Germans, don't do it again. That's all we had left. God wiped us from the earth. Governing officials are responsible to God. Who are governing officials? Well, they'd be university presidents. They would be mayors. They'd be police. They would be mothers and dads. They have been given a constituted authority in the home. By me kings reign, by me princes decree justice, by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Way back in the end of World War II, they tried to decide who would they take on. They defeated Germany, and they had the Nazis all in prison. They brought the Nuremberg trials, and one after another, they said, Hitler made me do it, Hitler made me do it, Hitler made me do it. And they concluded and said, no, he didn't. No man can take away the right to disobey God. You're going to die at the end of a noose. And they killed all the German generals. You can't exchange that. You can't blame these on somebody else. You got responsibility even though they told you to do so. This would not be of the same category of the killing. But we had something interesting happen. When we had kids at home, Bob Gatloth had a son. He was the best in this part of the state. He won the junior league, or the fancy name. And they were going to have the state final Sabbath afternoon on K-State, about a month later. Well, Dave Houston had a son. He was the best in the area of the state. He won. He's qualified to go to the state. The state meet will be held in K-State campus on a Sabbath day. Reed Hindman had a son. He qualified for the best there in the Western Kansas in the competing in the track. And he was told he would be able to go to the finals on the Sabbath day, which would be held on K-State campus. Bob McFarland had a boy who won the whole area of his state of Kansas. And they said, you're now qualified to go and be in a state qualification. Well, governing officials, I'm the governing. I govern my son. I sat down, I wrote to the outfit and told him they were asking my son to disobey his father, to strike the church, these kind of things. I said, why would you do this to a youth in this age? I got to our summer conference, and there was Catloff and Houston Heineman. We didn't know it. We all wrote letters. You know, they never had a Sabbath day gathering again. You can do some things. And we have to begin to do something somewhere. And it'd be a minor thing to start out on, but Satan loves minors. They all move into majors. Jesus Christ, the Son, forth, is King of Kings. He hath highly exalted him and given him above a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every name should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And in the passage, the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Let's put it this way. We have a war hero who threw himself on a hand grenade, killed himself, but saved the lives of four fellows. His little hometown says we need to dedicate a whole park to this man. And they made a big statue, veiled it to the Son, who died in behalf of his brethren. At the unveiling, they pulled it off, and there was the dad standing. The Son wasn't there. How would you feel if you're the dad? You feel the way Almighty God does when we put a under God in our flag salute without under Jesus Christ. Honoring the Father is good, but it's not what's asked for in Scripture. All ruling has been given to Jesus Christ. And that's why we believe in the mediatorial reignship of Jesus Christ as Lord. There's all kinds of different responses, and I'm sure you've had several. But when I retired, I talked to my brother, the school administration, and he said, you ought to do some substitute work out of Washburn Rural. That's a school out there in Topeka. And so I went out to apply. They said, well, yes, just step over here, and here's the form you need to fill out and the physical. We appreciate your $35 on that. And want to know your police record, so you just fill out all that data, and we'll look that up to see what your police record is. And that over there, well, that's a fingerprinting there. We'd like to have your fingerprints. And then fifth is just sign this. What is it? Well, it's a signature to the oath to the Constitution of the United States. I said, I can't sign that. Talk about eyeballs looking upward on the part of the secretaries. They thought they had a nut. They thought they had a cult leader. I said, I will sign it if I can attach my explanatory declaration as to why I have problems signing my allegiance to a constitution where Jesus Christ has been asked to leave. Now, let me clarify even at this point. This is not to run from the country. We had 1,000 soldiers in World War II throughout the Reformed Presbyterian Church. We fight for the flag. We're for the country. But the nation has thrown out the foundation. And so this is the explanatory declaration that I handed Washburn Rural. I take this oath, pledging my loyalty to my country, but declaring my supreme allegiance to Jesus Christ, whom Almighty God has appointed ruler of nations, and expressing my dissent from the Constitution's failure to recognize and to acknowledge the divine institutions of civil government. What can you do? We get into areas of practical application, don't we? Parents can write. people can stand there before them and maybe lose their jobs, as some have taking this explanatory declaration. There are too many nuts rattling around that want to be communists or something else that won't sign the declaration. But this gives honor to the glory of God. Fifth, God watches national governments. Jeremiah 17:7. In what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build up and to pull down and destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto it. You see, God is watching our marriage laws. He says, how's that going? How are your political leaders helping you to carry out biblical man and woman marriages? Look into our areas of entertainment and look into the casinos, making a game of a means of revelation. God says the casting of the lot is one way that I reveal my will. And they made a joke out of it. That's what they do all day here. They cast the lot. They make a joke out of one of the means of God's revelation. And Christians go in and don't even realize they swallowed the hook. And they go into the way that we approach the Sabbath. We don't have to go very far since the KU campus, K-State campus, and a host of other places say we couldn't play our games on any other day, so we have to play some of them on Sabbath. And that has a filter process of going down, down, down. God's watching. God looks into the divorce court. Now, God hates divorce, but God gives biblical reasons for a divorce. And he looks in to see, and he sees a nation that said, this is no-fall divorce. God says there is no such thing. Adultery, desertion, are two causes of divorce, but nothing short of that. God watches. He looks in on what we're doing with drugs and alcohol, and how we legalize to make a little money off the backs of those that drive down the wrong side of the road and kill people in their drunkenness. God watches national governments. And he says, if they'll change, I'll bring a blessing. Well, an application of a message like this, it may be as simple as offering and insisting that, no, you're not going to work here unless you can sign the Declaration of Independence. And if you get into a trial case, count on your Presbyterian background and the funds to provide the lawyers to help see you through. Maybe you're the father. You could write some letters. You are a governor. Maybe you can continue to form those lines you do in pro-life. Maybe you can take your blue banner down and get some use out of it. Or people say the whole church is taking a stand, not just an individual. For one of the innocent ways that the world moves in is say, well, I can't vote, but at least I can save souls. That's not bad. It's an issue that you need to look at carefully. What are you doing to make it possible for a Christian to be involved in electing? What kind of men or women? This is the way God puts it at closing. 1 Timothy, first of all then, second chapter, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Let's pray. Well, Father, we pause tonight having only touched the surface of the things that God is continuing to say to governments. Governments of schools, governments of nations, governments of counties, governments of homes, governments of churches. Oh, Father, we as a nation come on behalf of our concerns with our dedication to our flag, our faithfulness to be a defender of a nation that gives the right to have organizations like this church meeting to proclaim what God is teaching. But, oh God, when they pulled back the shroud, just God the Father was showing. And you'd committed all judgment, all reigning to the Son. And we pray that there'd be a lot of places that would be recognized for smelling a rat in Philadelphia for 190 years when they turned their back upon God, Christ, and the Word of God. This I pray, O Lord, confessing sins in my own heart, confessing restlessness, and desiring to see God's Word done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.